Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
The Beltway Blitz in 1 minute right here on Grant and Danny. We should let you know, hot off the presses, we've got some tickets to see Kevin Hart at DAR Constitution Hall that we'll be giving away all week long. So we'll be giving away at least one pair each every day starting today. And Kevin Hart, dude, it's a pretty good win. 1 hour from now, 5 o'clock, if you want those tickets, you better be listening right here on G&D. The Commanders are looking to draft their generational quarterback soon. Do not forget to think about your next generation. As the exclusive sponsor for our show, the law firm of Condori and Murad will guide you and your family in the right direction. They'll help you draft your will, set up a revocable trust, create a healthcare power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys. Go to kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them that we sent you. Mention G&D, get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. I saw Kevin Hart at Capital One Arena a couple of years ago. He was fantastic. Have you seen him live?
Never seen him live. Well, no, actually never have. I've never been in the same spot as him, which stinks because he's such an unbelievable performer.
Yeah, rock star, man. Let's go blitzing the Nats on deck, the NFL in the hole. We start with the game of the day in D.C., the Caps trying to win their way into the playoffs. It was super complicated last night. It's pretty simple tonight. They win and they are in. Steve Wino, Associated Press, will be in Philadelphia for the game, presumably joins us now. Swino, there are some other ramifications. They could still get in with an overtime loss, potentially. But a regulation loss, they're out. A win, they are in. Quite a night for the Capitals in Game 82.
Yeah, and it's been since 2008, GP, since this team was in this spot, where you had to win Game 82 to make it into the playoffs, a very unique spot. And even guys coming off the ice last night after the jerseys off their back were seeing Detroit overtime and starting to curse and be like, this stinks. And then guys were like, no, this doesn't matter. Forget about that. All we have to do is win, and we're in. And that's the central focus that the Capitals have right now.
Tough task, though, right? Back-to-back for them. I believe the Flyers are rested. What's the key tonight?
Well, I mean, they're going to need Charlie Lindgren to be good again. And I would expect him. I would be very surprised if he's not starting back. And then whether Beck Valentine plays is a question mark. But the Capitals are going to need to play their style of game. And yes, the Flyers are rested. The Flyers still have something to play for. There's obviously that kind of dynamic at work here. But you can't fake the urgency of winning, get into the playoffs. And I think the way the Capitals played last night, arguably one of their best games of the season, is what they need to try to replicate now.
Yeah, if the Flyers win in regulation tonight and get a little bit of help in the conference, they too could get that wild card spot and force their way into the playoffs. So they're playing for their postseason at home, needing a little bit more help than Washington does, not controlling their own destiny tonight. You mentioned Lindgren. He's going to go for the second time in 27 hours, for the 25th time in 28 games. I mean, how concerned should I be? The analytics on goalies playing the second night of a back-to-back are not good.
No, I wouldn't be concerned because like this is an empty the tank night for everybody on this team. That they know that if they're playing another game, it's not going to be until prior Sunday. And that Charlie Lindgren has done this before. He did this against the Rangers back-to-back home-and-home in January. Not something that you want your goalies to be doing very often, but Charlie Lindgren embraced becoming the number one goaltender of this team and kind of putting the Capitals on his back. And I don't expect tonight to be any different.
Who else has got to be great? I mean, we talk about this up and down the lines. I mean, you got to get hero efforts from guys that you wouldn't normally be counting on, but here we are.
Look, the young defensemen, Alex Alexiev, Vincent Iorio, and even Dylan McGrath, who's not young, but a guy who is got called up from the minors and thrust into the situation. The Capitals need them to not do something crazy, to not make a kind of a fatal mistake in this game. That's how they have to win it.
On the blue line, speaking of those kids, last night it was, I don't want to say easy, but it was a lot easier to not make those mistakes because the Bruins never really got the puck in the offensive zone. They had 16 shots on net, and a lot of those were from near the boards on the edges and away from the goal. They can't do that two nights in a row, I wouldn't think. So give me an idea of what the plan's going to be defensively. How many minutes might we expect from Carlson, who's leading the league in that category, and then also Ferravari and Alexiev, who have become linchpins?
Yeah, I think John Carlson could be in for another 30-plus minute night, and depending on how this goes. But certainly what the Capitals did a lot of last night was hold on to the puck and have the puck in the offensive zone a lot. So if you don't have to spend a whole lot of time defending, you don't have to make Charlie Lindgren have a difficult day of making 25. That it makes everyone's life easier. I think a puck possession, play a simple sort of road game is what's in store.
Who would be – I'm fascinated with this question, just thinking about this journey and how they've gotten here with some of the vets and some of these kids that you know, kind of have come up and punched above their weight class a little bit, Swino. Who would this be the most meaningful for? Who would this matter the most to, do you think?
I think it's Dylan Strom, and I'll put Charlie Lindgren a little bit behind that and McDowell a little bit behind that as well. But Dylan Strom, other than the bubble in 2020, has not played in the playoffs in the NHL. And he doesn't really count the bubble as a legitimate experience because there were no fans in the building. It wasn't a real kind of sort of playoff. And so Dylan Strom has been saying it like a player, and it stretches last night, looked like a man possessed, like he's tired of not being in the playoffs.
You've got ties to Philly. You monitor kind of the entire Mid-Atlantic for your role covering the NHL. Educate us on the Flyers, who a lot of people, including myself, left for dead after a total collapse. But with some help and back-to-back wins, you know, they still have a chance to get in here.
They do. And what happened was they lost Carter Hart to the sexual assault case in London, Ontario, their number one goaltender. And Samuel Erickson, Felix Sandstrom, and kind of pieced together starts from guys who they penciled in for 15, 20 starts this year, having to make 30, 40 starts. Really, the goaltending kind of, the goalies got tired. And I think the whole team sort of ran out of gas down the stretch. And this was a team not supposed to contend for a playoff spot at all. The fact that the Flyers are in the race at this point, impressive, given all of that. That slide, 7 losses in a row. Cavs had their 6 losses in a row. They do need help at this point. Everything's kind of been breaking against them. The Capitals winning last night, the Penguins, the Red Wings. But, yeah, they're in it to the point where this is a John Tortorella team that's not going to lay down and quit.
Swano, that's relatable to me. I, too, am very tired. Thank you, buddy. I always appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.
We'll see you, man. Hit that national sounder, please. Okay, Andrew Golden covers the Nationals. That's why he's going to talk about the Nationals right here on the Beltway Blitz. Welcome to the show, Mr. Parker. How cool was that last night, Andrew?
Yeah, pretty impressive debut, obviously, facing, you know, that starting lineup with Mookie Betts and Shohei Ohtani and Freddie Freeman. He was pretty impressive getting through 5 innings, just 2 runs. I don't think the Nationals could have asked for anything better out of him.
Yeah, no walks in those 5 innings as well was pretty telling for a guy who struggled with that in the minor league some. What do you make of C.J. Abrams? Did miss 3 games with a jammed finger at one point, so we're looking at basically 13 games and a little over 50 at-bats, but he's hitting around 300, has an OPS over 1,000. He's already got 4 homers.
Yeah, I've been impressed with plate discipline in his selectiveness. He's being aggressive early in counts to hitting fastballs when those opportunities present themselves, but he's also laying off those pitches in the dirt and chasing those pitches. And I think that's what got him in trouble early last year. So I think you're just seeing a better approach for him. And I think he's just not missing the pitches that he's supposed to hit. The fastball right over the plate, the homer last night, he didn't miss the fastball over the plate, and those are kind of the balls that he had to hit and knock out the park.
Andrew, this is probably the jinxiest jinx that's ever jinxed in the history of jinxes, but, like, don't look now. Luis Garcia? Like, he's been openly, publicly challenged by his manager, by the GM, by the organization, and he looks the part all of a sudden, right? He's still pretty young. Is Luis Garcia a thing?
I want to be a little bit more careful with Luis Garcia. I think we saw this exact same Luis Garcia in the first month of last season where he had strong play discipline, and he wasn't chasing. He was doing everything that they asked, and then we kind of were like, oh, is he breaking out? And then you kind of started to see him regress in some areas. So I want to see him sustain it for a longer period of time, but I think you have to be impressed. Obviously, like you guys said, Dave Martinez kind of gave him a message, and he's kind of done a good job of living up to it. I just want to see it sustain for a longer period of time.
Andrew Golden covers the Nats for the Washington Post on our Beltway Blitz. Andrew, when you sign guys for no money and you bring them in kind of as back of the roster hopefuls, you're going to swing and miss a lot. The batting average isn't going to be that high, but maybe the Nats hit on Jesse Winker. He's hitting over 350 with a 1,000 OPS through 48 ABs. He's 17 for 48. He's got a couple of terrific outfield assists as well. This is a 30-year-old who's a former All-Star who's off to a tremendous start to the season.
Yeah, I think with Winker, he wasn't really healthy last year, and obviously that limited him to, I think, it was like 61 games last year. And so I think what you're seeing from him is just he's back to his health. He's slimmed down. I think he's expressed a handful of times how excited he is to have the fresh opportunities. So I think that can be a lot for a guy. Even like Jamer Candelario last season. So I think you're right. They probably hit on a guy who they can probably flip at the deadline to continue to perform well. But I've been pretty impressed with what I've seen from him so far at the plate. He's kind of been just what the Nationals have needed.
Andrew, what's the latest on Josiah Gray?
He's still injured. He's still sidelined. He said he's going to keep rehabbing and progressing, and hopefully he can come back and pitch soon. He's not at the point where he can yet, but he's hoping he can soon. So he's still with the team right now. We'll just continue to see how it goes.
Andrew, the Nats put out a list today of all the players who are confirmed from the 2019 World Series team to come back and take part in festivities this weekend. Notably, Steven Strasburg was not on that list. I'm wondering, why come to an agreement with him recently if he's not going to be there? Or are they kind of doing a big, hey, he's not going to be announced, but maybe he'll be there and he'll surprise everyone and come out of the tunnel move? Like, what are you thinking about Strauss and whether he'll take part in the celebration?
Yeah, I think if he was going to be there, I don't think they would go about it that way. I think if he was scheduled to be there, he would be there. So I don't think he'll be there. I think that could just be a thing between maybe the timing, the way things didn't work out. Maybe it's something between the team and him. Obviously, this didn't go the way that both sides wanted it to go. Obviously, they didn't come to an agreement last year in time, so there could be maybe some animosity or some lingering feeling. So I can't speak to the exact reason why, but I wouldn't expect him there. You know, he's not on the list. I wouldn't expect a coming out of the tunnel kind of thing.
Wow. I'm surprised by that. I'm surprised to hear that, because then what's the point of coming to the agreement that they did like a week ago? It felt like they were beating the clock to try to make sure that he was at the event, and they put out their press releases and everyone's complimenting him and slapping him on the butt. I mean, why do all that instead of just continue the stare down if he's still going to tell you to kick rocks?
I think the practical reasons, right? I mean, obviously, you have that roster spot, and you need to obviously clear that up. I know it's kind of a little cold having that lingering roster spot. That obviously can be one factor. But yeah, it really is a good question. And who knows? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he does pull up on Friday, and it's a whole tunnel thing. I just kind of don't see it. I obviously just think that I just kind of don't see that, and I think he would have been announced if he was going to be there. You know?
No, totally. It is a bit of a kerfuffle. Andrew, thank you as always, buddy. Really appreciate it.
Thanks so much, guys. Have a good one.
Always.
Dude, that would be a bummer, by the way.
Yeah. Like, that's kind of letting the air out of the sails a little bit, isn't it?
I mean, it's going to be a blast one way or the other, but that's going to be a story, and it should be a story. But I don't know. He knows way more than I do, and I'm sure he's right. I've assumed all along they're going to fire up the, what's the song? Like,
White Stripes, Seven Nation Army.
Exactly. Yeah. And he's just going to come out of the tunnel waving his hands over his head, and everyone's going to lose their mind. If that doesn't happen, and why come together a couple weeks ago? Like, why not put the pressure on him a little more and wait it out? I don't know.
Here, here. Let's hit the NFL Center, please. NFL data scientist for Sumer Sports, our buddy Benjamin Brown, joins us to talk about the league draft coming up in, what is it, 9 days or 8 days from now? I guess 9 days. How many first-round trades are you anticipating, Ben?
I think that's a really good question. Obviously, the expectation from a fan standpoint is, you know, trades continue to materialize more so than what they did in previous seasons. To me, I think a fair estimate is probably like 4.5. at least as far as like a betting number. To me, I think the Patriots still really like to trade towards the top. If they do that, or if it is Arizona, I think we could see a team make multiple trades to maybe get back into the top 10 window. So I think 4.5 is probably good, and I think I would feel confident in kind of taking the over on that particular number if we get to that point on next Thursday.
Fact or fiction, the quarterbacks that are going at the top of the first round should all pray that they don't end up in New England, because that will be a terrible landing spot.
I think it's very much fact. To me, I think in a lot of ways, the quarterback evaluation, it is really difficult to separate circumstance from just how good a player was, especially on a rookie deal type situation. And to me, the Patriots have the worst roster in football. I think they kind of know it as well, and I think that's why they're so likely to potentially trade down, stockpile, because they know it's probably not the best environment. If they don't actually get, you know, some sort of expectation for what they should get for the third overall pick, I wouldn't be surprised to see them go non-quarterback and get a franchise-type piece in Joe Alt or Marvin Harrison Jr. and potentially kick the quarterback can down for another season.
Another draft question here. What position has more drafted in the first round, tackle or receiver?
That's a good question. I think it in some ways also depends on how you classify some of these later end, you know, interior offensive linemen or tackle type positions. But to me, I think wide receiver is incredibly deep. I do think we are seeing guys like Keon Coleman kind of leap up into the first round, Brian Thomas Jr. as well. So if I was betting on it, I do lean in the wide receiver direction. To me, I am kind of a believer in what Adam Schefter said, and that Adonai Mitchell is a guy that's rising up draft boards as well. So I think you could honestly expect, you know, close to 7 guys to potentially land in the first round from a wide receiver standpoint. And I wouldn't be all that surprised to see some teams come up and potentially get that guy at the end of the first round.
Have your quarterback rankings changed at all as this process has gone on?
I would say I think the Drake May hype has in some ways hampered my outlook on him to a certain extent. But to me, you know, as a Vikings fan, I would still kind of be ecstatic to kind of get him in that sort of environment where he does have at least a couple reliable receiving options and an offensive coordinator that's really going to maximize his strengths. I do think there are definitely some scenarios in which he's not going to, you know, live up to the lofty draft expectations. But I think overall, he's kind of the guy that's been most knocked in this draft process. And I think I was probably higher on him than what the general betting market probably has been over the course of this entire discussion.
Are you surprised at how the receiver trade market sort of either materialized or didn't, depending on how you want to express that? You know, some guys that are pretty darn good didn't change teams for a whole heck of a lot. Maybe there's some available, whether it's T. Higgins or, you know, we had a massive unfollowing the other day in San Francisco. One man blanking on his name, Brandon Ayuk. Is there something I'm missing here? Why wouldn't more teams be more interested and have to bid more?
Yeah, I think to me it does seem like just in general, like our understanding of where the wide receiver veteran, you know, trade demand market exists has kind of fallen by the wayside. I think guys like Devontae Adams and Tyreek Hill commanded a lot, but I would say the expectation for a little bit more of like the mid-tier type prospects has been relatively lackluster. And obviously some of that is influenced by the contract situation that particular guy is playing under. But to me, I think T. Higgins was kind of like a borderline first round, you know, trade compensation standpoint. And I think those sort of discussions just didn't materialize from Cincinnati's standpoint. You know, the Stephon Diggs thing, it seemed like, you know, after the restructure, maybe the Texans kind of overpaid just a little bit for his services for 1 year. But I think, like, overall, our understanding of where the teams are kind of evaluating these veteran guys has been a little bit under influenced, kind of wanting to hang on to those draft picks and maybe kind of roll the dice with a younger guy coming out of the draft, as opposed to trading, you know, second or even third round assets for some of these guys that we previously thought could command close to, you know, first round type draft tag.
Ben, you're our guy. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, guys. Have a great show.
Appreciate you. His sign off is always have a great show.
Have a great show.
And he's also, I think, from like Wisconsin or something. So he says show.
Mm-hmm. I think that's actually the perfect summary. There's a Midwest there. Thanks, guys. Have a great show every time.
That's my guy, Ben Brown.
Such a nice dude.
Danny loves him too. Sumer Sports. That's our guy. He's not your guy. He's not my guy. He's Arvydas. Arvydas Sabonis, I believe, is the way that the catchphrase goes. Should Josh Harris be sitting in on quarterback meetings? Danny and I disagree on this. What should his role be in Washington's number 2 pick? Next on G&D.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Grant and Danny, welcoming you back on The Fan at 5 o'clock in a little over 30 minutes. A chance for you to win tickets to see Kevin Hart. He's coming to D.C. performing at DAR Constitution Hall. Coming to D.C. is the lead, but I will say DAR is about as good a spot as you're going to see him.
Oh, it's the best. Usually he does arenas 10 times that size. So it's not quite an intimate night.
Yeah.
Like he's doing an unplugged acoustic at a local dive bar. But that's as close as you're going to get with a megastar like that.
Well, during the pandemic, I'm pretty sure it was him. He did a special at his house, remember?
That's right.
Which was actually really funny. But when I saw him, it was at Capital One Arena. And it's just different. You know, mm-hmm. When you see a comedian in an arena, the vibe is not the same as being over at something like DAR where you're sitting and you feel like you can – everything's just right in your face and it's much closer. So really cool prize. 30 minutes from now, if you want to go see Kevin Hart, you better be listening. The story today that came out, along with Washington interviewing four quarterbacks at the same time, and in fact, we have a little more clarity on that. It's not just the quarterbacks. It sounds like the quarterbacks are just among the prospects that will be in the building. According to Albert Breer, they've got upwards of maybe 20 to 30 guys.
Like, that's so weird.
There's going to be like 20, like a symposium of sorts, some type of work conference where they have like 20 prospects in the building, all going to different stations and doing things.
Yeah, with name tags and check-ins and,
yeah, exactly.
And small group breakouts.
There's a word that isn't symposium that I'm trying to think of.
Conference?
No, conference works. What is it in, like, college? I don't think it's a symposium. Maybe it is. When you, like, go to learn everything you need to learn.
A lecture?
No.
A discussion group?
Seminar, maybe?
Seminar?
I'm thinking the first time you show up. Like, you go on a
orientation.
Tour.
Orientation.
Yes, that's the one.
Boom.
Say it again for the people.
Orientation. That's all for me.
That's
you guys
what
have
we
a great
looking
night.
For.
Nailed it.
It's a commander's orientation with mm-hmm. people that they might not hire. That's what it feels like. Hello, right. My name is Jaden.
Yeah, it's a job fair, right? And they're only taking like two of these guys.
Hello, my name is Drake. Does JJ put JJ on there? Does he spell out his first name? Is it James or something? I don't know. But in addition to finding out that they're doing the interviews in a weird way, we also heard Josh Harris is in on all the interviews,
mm-hmm.
something that not only I have no problem with, but I even go one step further and say I'd prefer the owner of the team to not be absentee and to be involved enough to sit in on those meetings and to monitor his employees and charges, and especially early on. If 5 years from now he's not doing that, that's probably not only fine, but maybe even good. You've empowered people. You know how they do. You know their strengths, their weaknesses. You've made the decisions you need to make and cut the people you need to cut. But right now, he's on a fact-finding mission. So I want him in there. I know you don't feel that way, though.
Yeah, it's not the right thing to do. You can be involved without having your presence cast a pall over every meeting. There's a reason our cluster, GM, doesn't sit on every meeting that CK has with us when we're talking about programming for the next couple weeks. There's a reason why you leave your charges to do what you hired them to do. And you need to be active in the sense that you're at the end of the process. So once all the data has been gathered, so presumably over the next week, right, when guys are going to come in there and make their case, I'll be the scout. I want to draft Drake May. I think that's the best thing for us, and I think he's excellent. Instead of just saying, okay, thanks so much for your input. As the guy that's ultimately in charge of all of it, the owner, I want him to be able to ask great questions. Why? Defend this. What about these problems? What about this issue? What about this other scout that doesn't agree with you? What about the GM? What does he think? And we have a collaborative process where everyone's involved. You can be involved without sitting in every interview. We're allowing this to happen. Not that we could stop it, but the same case made for Josh Harris to sit in the interview is the same case that you would have for Dan Snyder. It's the same case for the dude in Carolina. It's the same case for Tepper, for every other bad owner. This is their team. They can do what they want. I don't want them to do what they want. I want them to do the smart thing, which is good ownership. You sign a check. You empower people to do their jobs. If he's really just observing and that's it and that's all, I could live with that. I mean, I'll live with all of it. I'm fine. I'm not that upset. But it is not the right process. That's what leads to someone thinking they're an expert without actually being an expert. And you start weighing in a little bit more often. You start influencing a little bit more. You start making it so that people try to say what you want to hear instead of what they believe in, which is the culture that was here for decades under a terrible little tyrant. I'm not saying Harris is a tyrant. He's not. But this is how it starts. There's a great way to do it, and it's not this.
Or you don't. Or you just sit in on the meetings and you enjoy watching your group work, ultimately. Right now, you're on a fact-finding mission, but eventually, when you don't need to figure out who's good and who isn't, you got the answer key already. You just enjoy your hobby, which is pro football and owning this team and being a part of the juice, you know, being in the mix, being in the room, being a fly on the wall, the reason that you spent your billions. I think what's happening in town when people react unfavorably to Harris being involved, and the same thing happened with the coaching search, if you remember, is this is an example of many, many, many years of being a part of something that was done poorly, and that casting a shadow over and aspersions over kind of how we feel. So my comp would be you go, and then you sit in, and next thing you know, you're too involved, and you're powerful, and you pick your guy, and you think you know best. That's like saying, yeah, keep working at night. You know, keep going out after 8 p.m., and next thing you know, you're going to sleep at someone else's house and not come home and cheat on me, just like the last girl did or just like the last guy did. Or you'll just go to work at night and come home because you'll – just because Dan Snyder, just because the ex did it that way doesn't mean the next guy will. In fact, there's a lot of really good owners in the league who have been heavily involved, not a pejorative, not absentee, though, you know, around – that don't take things over, that don't dictate terms. The radio analogy you used, I actually think is really interesting because it can go two ways. I don't think it works because it's like...
Because it doesn't support your argument?
No, not at all. Because as you say to callers all the time, you can't compare sports and football to their job, which is what you did in that case. And it's not the same. In that a GM, you know, coming down from Odyssey to be at 106.7 The Fan is not the norm, where owners being in meetings for number two picks is absolutely the norm. It would be weird if an owner wasn't involved in the choice of a coach or a quarterback.
But see, let me jump in super quick.
Yeah.
I'm not saying don't be involved. What I'm saying is...
You're saying you don't want him in the meetings.
Yeah, be part of a collaborative process, which is what they've set up, which is smart, which is correct. I have no issue with that and never will. This is the part where you don't have to do this. Now, again, if it's just a fact-finding mission, as I think I saw one of the reports saying, like, he's never seen this before. He'd like to see it. That's far more reasonable to me than sitting in the room. And this is what we talked about this with the coaching search, too. Like, is he asking questions? It would be hard for me to imagine that you're going to employ somebody and you wouldn't have any kind of curiosity. You're just sort of sitting there in the corner with your legs crossed, taking notes like Mark Cuban at why am I blanking on the name of the show that I love so much?
Shark Tank.
Shark Tank, thank you very much. Goodness gracious. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. There's a fine line here. And I understand it doesn't necessarily mean it's always going to be bad. But there's a simple way to 100% ensure it's never bad. You don't do these sorts of things. You don't meddle. You don't get seen as sticking your beak in when you don't have to. Like, you can be part of the process without meeting every quarterback or every left tackle or whoever they're going to select.
You shouldn't meet every left tackle necessarily or cornerback. Quarterback is different. I mean, the rules for GM, head coach, quarterback, it's just a different thing. Those are the most important decisions you make that shape the entire direction of your Fortune 500 company. I mean, you say you don't do it, but I think there are a lot of owners for a lot of good teams that do sit in on things like that and have for a long, long time. I don't know the specifics of the Chiefs operation, but it would be surprising to me if Clark Hunt, you know, was not sitting there when they were interviewing quarterbacks, Patrick Mahomes or otherwise, over the years. But the analogy you brought up with the GM, even though I don't know that it is perfect in a radio sense, but I get it. I would say that if the person from Odyssey that came down to like watch what we were doing, they might do that. If DC was a failing market for years and years and years that couldn't get out of its own way, that got terrible ratings, that couldn't generate any revenue, that was doing an awful job for decades, and then they just bought the company and they just hired all new people to clean house or, you know, fix the problem, they might come down and get their hands dirty and roll up their sleeves and say, let me see what's going on here. Let me look at this thing. So I don't think it's that crazy. Again, though, what he's doing is what's important. And I don't get the sense that you think he is being overly active. Is that fair?
Like I have a really hard time believing he's just a wallflower. The multi-billionaire owner of the team just sitting in the room in and of itself is a presence and it's a factor. Now, whether they want that or not as part of their evaluation and dynamic of these kids that they're potentially drafting is another discussion entirely. I mean, they're already doing stuff to try to, you know, get them out of their rhythm and comfort zone by having 37 people visit at the exact same time. And as you said, we're doing like a speed dating course. But to me, this is like 101 for a meddlesome owner. This is what they would do. And the defense is, well, he owns a team. He can do what he wants. I don't want that to be the defense for something. And that's kind of my point. I'm not saying he's meddling. We'll find out if down the line, if, you know, when people are trying to cover their butts, as it always was over the years. Yeah, that actually wasn't a Peters pick. That was a Harris pick. Who knows if we'll ever get there? I hope we don't. I hope it's just a reasonable football operation forever, quite frankly, as long as I live. But that's what happened the last time is when something didn't work, well, that was the owner's pick. Or he went to school with the owner's kid. And that's how we got there, sticking their beak in. Like, we like Harris and Rails and Company, and we should, because they're so far they've been wonderful as far as I'm concerned. But so we give them a pass on this sort of thing. And that's,
but see,
and that's
and
kind
this
of
is where I disagree. And we'll open up the phones, 800-636-1067. I don't think – I'll just speak for myself. I'm not giving them a pass because I like them. I disagree with your notion that being in the meeting is meddling ownership behavior. Like, we disagree on that. Meddling ownership behavior is dictating the quarterback that you want or running the meeting or taking over or telling your GM what you think and why he should think it. Just for you, being in the meeting is kind of overstepping or like a bad sign. And I just completely disagree with that. But I am curious to see what people think. 800-636-1067. Josh Harris, who was in on the coaching interviews, and by in on, he sat in the room supposedly while they were going on to watch his new staff work, is doing that again with quarterbacks. Danny does not like that. I got no problem with it. I actually think it's perfectly fine. I would do the same thing. Let's see what you guys think on that. Next, G&D on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In 15 minutes, right at the top of the hour, we're going to give away a pair of tickets to see Kevin Hart, DAR Constitution Hall. He's coming to D.C. on April 19th, the show. I should say tickets are on sale April 19th. The show is going to be epic on September 13th, right as the NFL season is kicking off in the fall. So make sure you're listening. Top of the hour, you can win tickets before they're even available at the box office. Here on Grant and Danny. Let's touch the people and take some temperatures. Do you have any issue with Josh Harris being involved by being in the meetings for the quarterback prospects that Washington's debating between? 800-636-1067. Danny and I are on different sides of this. He doesn't want him in the meetings. I do want him in the meetings. I just hope he is not going to get overly involved. Let's go to Mike in Waldorf. What's up, Mike? How are you?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, Mike.
Big fan of this show.
Thank you, buddy.
Danny, normally I agree with you, buddy, but on this I have to disagree with you. I'm with Grant all the way here. All right, let's look at this. Grant hit a lot of the points that I was going to mention, but is the trifecta. We're completing that. But I think as a fan, even stepping back, looking at the situation holistically, Josh Harris, he's still trying to orchestrate this thing from him building from the ground up. If this is 5 or 10 years down the road, 15 years down the road, that would be something different. But he's still trying to orchestrate this thing from the beginning. This is literally the most important piece for him that he can see. This is his very first pick as an NFL owner.
Sure.
His very first pick. And I think we're understating the value of not only being at his first pick. If he had came to a team that had an established quarterback, that would have been one thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's his very first pick, and it's the quarterback. He could potentially not have to pick another quarterback for 10, 12, 15 years if he makes it right.
Oh, totally.
If he's there that long, then we know that means that he probably had a substantial amount of success. So for me, I'm okay with it. Don't overstep your boundaries, you know, like whatever that may be, and trust your football people. I wouldn't even be mad if he wanted to ask him a question or two, to be honest.
Got you. Mike, appreciate the phone call, dude. Really good points. Good call. Here's the part that I think is not coming through. If he wants to watch video of every one of these things because it's such a dramatically important pick, by all means, watch video as soon as you leave your meeting with whatever city councilman you have to meet to get a football stadium, or whatever meeting with an ad exec you have to get to get more money from Coca-Cola, or whatever the hell that an owner should be doing. If you want to be involved, you can be involved. You don't have to sit in on the meeting. That's the part that I can't get past. He should be involved. Conversation should be had among adults. You should have everybody comes to the table. There's no wrong answers. Let's start talking about it to come up with the best course for the franchise. The fact that he's in the room, his presence alone influences things, whether he means to or not. That's just the way it is when you have that kind of authority figure.
Yeah, I certainly think his presence alone could be a factor, you know, depending on how it's set up. You know, if it's a room with 15 guys and a whiteboard and three coaches and a GM, and he's in the back of the room with his legs crossed, I can't imagine it's going to change a whole lot. But in a traditional sense where there's just one quarterback with a GM, a head coach, and there's like seven people in the total room, then, yeah, I think the owner sitting in there probably is a factor, possibly. Side question, because this is not my argument, really. It's just another observation I would make.
Mm-hmm.
If you spent $6 billion to buy the Washington Nationals, you wouldn't want to be in the room as they're going over the draft board to just see it?
To go over the draft board? Yeah, I'd love to see it. I'm not going to sit there while they're interviewing, I don't know, Dylan Cruz.
Okay.
Like
I absolutely would, because I'm a diehard baseball fan. I just spent $6 billion on my hobby, which is to, you know, as a huge sports fan, to run a team. Now, I wouldn't tell Mike Rizzo who to draft, but you better bet your bottom dollar I'm going to be sitting in that room, because that's baseball porn for me.
Yeah, well,
trying to figure out what's happening.
I'd also say you're an unique animal in that regard.
No, but the point is the point. I mean, if you had $6 billion
mm-hmm.
to buy a sports team, and you're a sports mark and a diehard fan and this NFL fan your entire life, and now you own a team, of course you're going to be in on the most exciting week of the year as you're interviewing all these guys you've been watching on TV make their cases to be the number two overall pick. James is in Herndon. What's up, James? How are you?
Well, how are you guys? Danny, a little bit of a rebuttal for you.
Please.
You would say three of the most successful NFL teams in the last 10 years, 49ers, Chiefs, Eagles,
mm-hmm.
right? All three of them have extensive owner involvement, including sitting in on meetings, asking questions of the people, but not dictating who is chosen. They are involved, and it hasn't had a detriment. And crucially, the 49ers are one of those teams, and Adam Peters comes from the 49ers. So I don't think this is anything different for him. I don't think this is anything that he's not used to or doesn't want. I think that he's...
Well, let me clarify real quick, and I'm going to add to your argument, if I may, for a second. Thank you for the call. Peters asked Harris to join, I don't remember which part of the process, but Peters asked Harris to join during the coaching search. And Harris kind of jumped in at that point. Now, I don't know if he went to him and said, hey, come sit in. You'll enjoy this. I think it was the combine, maybe, when we found out Harris was in the meetings. And there was some reporting there that he said, hey, come along and hang out. I think you'll get a kick out of this. So, yeah, I think that Peters is – I don't think he's frustrated or bothered by Harris being there, which is not necessarily the end-all, be-all of the conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, again, as long as – if. And I'm trying to clarify my position because everyone's like, the owner's going to be involved. Again, of course he's going to be involved. I think the distinction I'm trying to draw is there's so much involvement that's not sitting in on interviews. But I guess that's lost on deaf ears. No one's going to hear me say that part, I guess. So whatever, I'll move on from there. I guess to me, the idea that we picked a couple of good ownership groups with a track record of success tells me that's my entire rebuttal to a lot of folks, maybe not necessarily UGP, is now switch out that successful owner, switch out the York family with – David Tepper. Now switch him out with Jim Irsay. Now switch him out with a bunch of other owners, and we'd go, oh my God, we have no track record of badness right now with Harris and company. Yeah. So imagine this pick doesn't work, God forbid, and then two other picks don't work, and then a free agent doesn't work, and now, well, Josh Harris was involved in the process. How does that – and then all of a sudden we have a negative view of the guy if they don't win for the next 10 years. Then but we don't want him in any meeting. My point is, let's start the right precedent now.
But again, I take issue with the idea of the right precedent. Like, you're speaking factually, like, this is wrong, this is bad, this is not the correct practice. And that premise to, like, as if that's the beginning of the conversation and we go on, I disagree with that. It's the wrong practice, to use your example with David Tepper, when David Tepper then tells you who to draft and why, as a coach, you're wrong, which is what he's been doing, according to everybody in Carolina, for a couple years. Reggie's in Upper Marlboro on G&D. What's up, Reggie?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Look, here's the third proposition to this. This owner is saying, one, I've already been with you in meetings. I already see how y'all make decisions. I want to see how y'all implement those decisions. I want to learn about each one of you in the moment. I can't do that unless I'm in the room. Danny, look. If you're afraid because I, as the owner, am in the room and you lose your ability to lead and make decisions, maybe I need to learn that about you and excuse you from the room. It could be I just want to, as you said, sit in the room and enjoy the process.
Evaluate the evaluators in a way? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, do you think that you said it changes, like, the mood kind of him being there? Do you think that Jaden Daniels cares?
How he sets it up.
Well, thank you for the call.
Thanks, Reggie.
Do you think that Jaden Daniels or – J.J. McCarthy cares if Josh Harris is in there? I mean, with all due respect, like, they weren't doing the months of shows talking about it. They right. They barely recognize Josh Harris.
Sure.
I don't think they're acting that differently because he's sitting in the room.
Well, but again, it's part – I know it sounds I'm reaching here, but it's part – it's not necessarily for the prospects. They're going through it. There's just another face. They've got a glad hand and explain why they did this on this play or why they order a steak a certain way or whatever. But it's from the personnel side. Like, it feels like you're not trusted. When someone's hanging over you, watching you work, if you're just a wallflower, then I guess it's fine. But you can't help it. There's subtleties. There's body language. There's, you know, let's say for the sake of argument that Josh Harris really warms up to J.J. McCarthy in this process. Like, is like intrigued and writing notes and smiling and, you know, grinning and shaking his head. And going, oh,
right.
Man. Then all of a sudden, now the next time we meet. Well, I want the owner to be pleased with me.
Then
I want
that's
the, boss to
the
be
issue.
Pleased.
Like, you're going full Mike Pence on me. You're doing the bit where, like, I don't like being in the room with any women. I've told my wife I'll never do that or whatever. It's like, no, the problem's not being in the room with a woman. The problem is when you know, ask her to come back to your hotel room or whatever
but
it is.
I'm not saying
after.
Adam Peters is the problem. I'm talking about a very real dynamic. When the boss of everything is sitting in the room, you behave differently, number one. And number two, we try to please people, especially ones that sign our paychecks. So you're trying to figure out what he wants, and then it turns into a not a live festival, but you maybe hedge on your opinion a little bit to not maybe go as strongly if you think it's against what he thinks, et cetera. The owner should be an arbiter. He should be there at the end of the process asking good questions, but empowering his people to do the right thing,
which I think he's doing. I absolutely think he'll do that.
You don't do that sitting in the room.
I disagree with you completely.
You're being micromanaged. Absolutely everything I'm saying is correct.
It's
a micromanagement.
And it's just not.
If you're sitting there, it's now you're being judged, whether you want to be or not.
To be clear, let me be clear. Danny Ruhier buys an NFL team. I think where we're sleeping a little bit is the collaborative.
You just gave me all the money?
What's that?
You just gave me all this money, and now I have an NFL team.
Well, that's pretty good, too.
Teamed up.
But the collaborative nature of owning a sports team / like running a sports team, coach, GM, owner, it's not as defined as, like, the defensive coordinator doesn't need to dictate the offensive plays. Like, ownership coach, GM, they're in on these types of conversations, discussions. It's a process that they all have a role in. But having said that, just to get you back on the record, you buy a sports team, you're not in the room as they're interviewing coaches or interviewing the face of your Fortune 500 company quarterback.
Well, I'll interview a coach. Absolutely. As part of the process. But it's sitting in.
But you didn't want Josh Harris in those meetings either.
A meeting is fine. You can have dinner with a guy that's going to be your employee. That's a reasonable thing to do. But he's sitting in when Martin Mayhew, who shouldn't be here but still is conducting an interview. He's sitting in when Peters and everyone, like, he's now watching every prospect at the combine talk to his team. Now he's the quarterbacks that are visiting. He's sitting in the room. Like, that presence is there, and we like him, so we're going to forgive all of it. But I'm telling you that you can absolutely be involved without sitting in on every interview. It's so easy. I'll write a little manifesto about it.
Involved for me is not a pejorative. It's a good thing with an owner. The worst thing you can have is David Tepper.
The disinterested, right? Micromanager, yeah.
Well, no, I would say David Tepper's the worst, which is Dan Snyder, which is I'm taking over the first round, and you're drafting Dwayne Haskins because he was nice to my kid in the hallway that time. That's the worst thing. The second worst thing is Peter Angelos for years growing up an Orioles fan who just didn't care and didn't spend and wasn't interested and didn't really matter to him. The perfect thing to have is an engaged, involved owner who allows professionals to do their job, which, based on the evidence I have at this point, is what you've got so far in Josh Harris. We're going to give away those tickets to see Kevin Hart at DAR Constitution Hall as soon as we return next. Also, an NBA team did one of the coolest things I have ever seen a sports team do for its fans. I want to tell you about that when we continue on The Fan.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.